Our feast today points to the end time when the fullness of Christ's kingdom will reign, extending to all the ends of the earth. We are all kings and queens through Jesus Christ, King of the universe, and are working to build his kingdom here on earth just as it is in heaven. A story is told about a husband who was boasting to his friends, "You know, in my house, I'm the king, and whenever my wife and I have a quarrel, my wife does the kneeling." Upon overhearing this, the wife said, "You know why I kneel down? I kneel down to look for him under our bed where he is hiding." Prince George, Princess Charolette, and Prince Louis, the children of Prince William and Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge, have caught the attention and hearts of the world. As these children grow up, they will be trained in the proper behavior of a representative of the British monarchy. We too are growing in the royal family of Jesus Christ, King of the universe. By our baptism, we are called to be kings and queens. As we live today, we spend our lives in service of the great King, Christ the King of the universe, building his kingdom here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Next week, we begin Advent. We prepare our hearts for this King of the universe to be born into our world. In our first reading, David did not seek to become king of Israel. He endured many hardships. God comes into our lives and calls us to do his will in this world. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane asked for this cup to bypass him. However, he showed his great trust in God, our Father, in saying, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." This trust in the Father led to the mockery of Jesus on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Following the examples of King David and Jesus, we know that many hardships and mockery they endured, we place our trust in our King of the universe. A nurse in a pediatric ward, before listening to a little one's chest, would plug the stethoscope into his ears and let them listen to their own hearts. She never got a response equal to the 4-year-old David when she gently tucked the stethoscope in his ears and placed the disc over his heart. "Listen," she said. "What do you suppose that is?" He drew his eyebrows together and puzzled line and looked up as if lost in the mystery of the strange tap, tap, tapping deep in his little chest. Then his face broke out in a wondrous grin. "Is that Jesus knocking?" he asked. Maybe we should all listen to our hearts, listen to Jesus. In our baptism, we are anointed priests, prophets, and kings. Through baptism, we become the adopted sons and daughters of God our Father. We become co-heirs with Christ, King of the universe. Through our baptism, God is calling us and empowering us to continue building his kingdom here on earth. This is profoundly different from the kings and queens we have experienced in our world. These leaders often do not empower their subjects and give them inherent dignity. Instead, they use their subjects for their own will and pleasure. A retired teacher decided to volunteer at a local hospital and tutor some of the children who were going to be there for an extended period of time. She was given the name of a 9-year-old boy named Jimmy. She called Jimmy's teacher at his school and got the assignments which his class was studying, nouns and verbs. The teacher brought all the material with her to the hospital. When she arrived, she found out that Jimmy was in the burn unit. For those of you who don't know much about burn units, the sights and smells can be overwhelming. The teacher almost turned around and went home, but she gathered up her courage and went inside and introduced herself to Jimmy. He was not a pretty sight, and he wasn't responding well to the treatment. She said, "Hi, Jimmy. My name is Mrs. Smith, and I'm going to be your teacher for a while until you can return to school. Today we're going to learn about nouns and verbs. It's very important that a person knows how to speak and write properly." After the lesson was over, she told Jimmy that she'd be back in a few days. 2 days later, Mrs. Smith received a phone call from Jimmy's mother asking if she would be coming to the hospital that day. Mrs. Smith thought that she had done a poor job with Jimmy and that the mother was calling to tell her not to come back. "Oh no," said Jimmy's mother. "On the contrary, you have it all wrong. I don't know what you said to my son, but since your visit, Jimmy has been really trying hard to respond to his treatment. It seems like he has finally decided to live." When Mrs. Smith returned to the hospital, she found Jimmy with his therapist and his mother. Jimmy said to his mother, "Now I know that I'm going to live. They wouldn't send a teacher to teach me nouns and verbs if I was going to die." "If I was a lost cause, would they? And God the Father wouldn't send his only begotten Son, Jesus, Christ the King, to be exact, if we were a lost cause. He wouldn't let his Son die a miserable death on the cross for us if he didn't know that some of us would call out to him, as did the good thief, Jesus, 'Remember me when you come into my kingdom.'" You know, many people, unfortunately, only see the negative in their lives. They have given up. But Jesus hasn't given up on us. He refuses to ever give up on us. He is Christ the King. He loves his subjects, us. He loves us to death. The goal and dream of Jesus to have us live with him forever. Our goal and dream should be the same too. Every other goal and dream is of very little importance. No matter how important that they may seem at the moment, they will pass away. Only eternity and eternal dreams and hopes will remain. Many of us struggle with the basic fear, "Will I be remembered after I'm gone?" We try to leave our mark while we're still here. If we are followers of Christ, we don't have to worry about being remembered, do we? Jesus, our Lord and King, will remember us and love us for eternity. That is the great hope of today's gospel for us. This unnamed man, known only to us as the good thief, is dying for crimes which he committed, whatever they were. How many people did he swindle or rob? Who knows? But here he was, very close to Jesus on that darkest days of Good Friday. He didn't know much about Jesus when he asked to be remembered. Basically, his future hung in the balance. This good thief knew somehow that his eternal future hung on his faith that Jesus was exactly who he said he was, the Son of God. And in that faith, he asked simply to be remembered. He didn't ask for some mansion in heaven, just to be remembered. It is mercy in its purest form that he seeks. We are that thief, aren't we? All of us are sinners, maybe neither better nor worse than that thief on the cross. There is hope for people like us, just a prayer away in the mercy of Christ, just one prayer away. This last Sunday of the church year challenges us to decide who is our King. What are the goals and dreams that we should really be working and sacrificing for? Today, we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, the King. We have a sign up for perpetual adoration. 18 years ago, we had over 500 parishioners sign up for 1 hour a week. One holy hour a week. Then that big day on Sunday, June 17th, 2001, at 1 p.m., Father Michael Mulvey, now bishop, processed to the chapel with the main church and took Jesus in a beautiful new monstrance, and perpetual adoration began here at St. Helens. From June 17th, 2001 to now, 18 years later, there have been 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. For those 18 years, we have had a 161,612 hours of continuous prayer here at St. Helens in our Adoration Chapel. After Mass, volunteers are outside under the canopy with information on perpetual adoration. Obviously, Jesus should be our Lord and King. After all, we share his hopes, his dreams for an eternity together. We believe that nothing, not even death, can steal that dream of his kingdom from us. This day, Christ the King, isn't just the conclusion of the church year, it's a sign of our hope.